ओम शांति। मेनी मेनी पीपल व्हेन दे हियर अबाउट कर्म फिलॉसफी समटाइम्स दे आर सो अफ्रेड। व्हाई आर दे अफ्रेड? बिकॉज इफ दे हैव डन समथिंग रॉन्ग they definitely feel that they will get some punishment in some form or the other. And as I was mentioning, they say, don't tell anybody, don't tell anybody, because they're afraid of the punishment. But we say that if you tell the truth, then your punishment will be reduced. But if you don't tell the truth and hide, then maybe that wrong action which you did can continue, can do it again and again, and the punishment can be even more. So we learn from the law of karma that if I have done something wrong, let me learn from it and not repeat it. This is what Mama, you know, the mother of this organization, she used to say when we used to ask about what efforts to make. She would say that if you make a mistake, have a determined thought that I will not repeat this mistake, come again, what way, whatever happens. A good effort maker will never repeat the mistake. Usually what we do, you know, we make mistakes and then we say, okay, I confess to God. But just confession is not enough. You confess and again make mistakes. Okay, I confess, you think, let me confess to God. And I confess and then make mistakes again, so my mistakes will keep increasing. But I do confess. But after that, I make a promise that I'll not repeat this mistake. And when I make a promise to not repeat this mistake, then I get help from God, actually. That is why it is said, God helps those who help themselves. So what does it mean? God helps those who help themselves. Means you keep a determined thought, you make the effort, then you receive the help. Some people think, well, I don't have that strength to make effort. So they say, God, you give me the strength also. You give me the courage too. We say, no, courage you have to keep. That's why the saying, where there is a will, there is a way. If you don't have a will, then even if you find the way, you will not go for it. And therefore, if there's a will to do, then there's a way. And there are also some people who say, but we are human beings, no? We make so many mistakes. And therefore they try to take it easy and say, well, to err is human. We make mistakes, so we are human beings. And human beings means mistakes. So we are humans, and therefore to err is human and to forgive divine. So we are not divine, we are only humans, and therefore we make mistakes. We say, no, you have to become divine. Don't say we are humans and therefore we err and therefore, never mind, okay, confess. Again, keep making mistakes. But we learn from that and change ourselves. So some people, when they hear these things, they say, oh, I don't want to do any karma. They want to renounce karma. I don't want to live in this world. I don't want to do this. That's why they want to die. Why they want to commit suicide? Because they're afraid of the sorrows and the karma and the fruit and all. So they don't want to live. But we say, no, don't run away from karma. They are your greatest asset. Your karma are your greatest asset. They can help you also. But only thing you should think of is how to make your karma elevated. That is important. It's like somebody may say, if somebody is not able to dance well, and she or he says, well, this floor is not in level. How can you blame the floor that is not in level? You don't know how to dance. So we play this blame game all the time. I was giving an example, I was a practical example. I saw one mother, catching hold of her child and making the child to walk. And said, come on child, put your foot in the front, and the child is making effort to put the foot in the front to walk. And then the mother, somebody called her, and then her actually attention went somewhere else, and she was holding the child, and the child's hand went off and he fell. And the child began to cry. And actually it was the mother's fault, no? The mother should have, why did she take her attention somewhere else? And the child fell, and the child began to cry. Now, what she did, now the child was crying. So what she did, she is blaming that earth, the ground. Oh, you dirty ground, you made my child fall down. You made my child fall down. You made my child fall down. And then, why blame that the ground? So it's not the ground's fault. But you can't even say it's the child's fault. The child is only learning to walk. It's the mother's fault, but she doesn't think it's her fault. So this is how it is. And therefore we say that just make your actions elevated. And therefore karma, law of karma means to understand what is elevated actions or good actions, righteous actions, and what is unrighteous or bad actions. We should know the difference. Some people don't understand this difference, and they think that maybe one good action of mine may be a bad action for you, or one good action for you may be bad action for me. But no, good actions are good actions, bad actions are bad actions. So we have to understand the slight difference. Now some people think bad actions means sinful actions. When they say sinful, they say speaking lies is wrong. We should never speak lies. Now, is that the only criteria for a sinful action, speaking lies? That means speaking the truth should be a good action. But sometimes it's not that. Speaking the truth also may not be right. You know? On the contrary, if you are not speaking the truth, that is right. We give an example. Supposing there's a doctor, and the doctor has diagnosed a patient and has come to know that he or she has cancer, for example. And the patient asks, do I have cancer? Now should the doctor say straight away, you have cancer? No. Huh? Any doctor here? No one. Anyway, so should the doctor say straight away, you have cancer? We are still diagnosing, we don't know, we can't say right now. You know, he's trying to postpone. But he knows that it is, so what he'll do? He'll go and tell maybe the relatives first. That this is how we have diagnosed, and now it's up to you to tell the patient. So the patient, doctor won't say straight away. The doctor doesn't know what is the mental situation of the patient, how strong that person is, mentally, emotionally. Because emotions also work a lot here. It may be that cancer can kill that person after 10 years, but by just telling him straight away can kill him immediately. You know, shock. That shock can kill him. So it's like that. And therefore, it's not telling a lie. We give an example. We give many examples, but this is one of them. I won't take long because I don't have much time, just 15 minutes time. So, what exactly is unrighteous action or sinful action? It's not just speaking lies. And if it is, then we have to take the depth, understand the depth of speaking lies. What is actually a big lie? The biggest lie is to think that I am this body. Actually, I'm not this body. I'm a soul. And to consider the self to be this body, identify the self with the body, this is the biggest lie. And right from morning till night, how many times we become body conscious and say, I, all the time. Now, how many sins are we committing? Because we say it with that ego, that arrogance sometimes. We say this is the biggest ignorance. We actually reveal two types of ignorance. One ignorance is the superiority complex, the ego of our physical attainments or achievements, even our talents. It's fine, I have it, I worked hard and therefore I got this talent, it's fine. But then it's also God's gift to me. You know, there's a saying, what you have is God's gift to you. And what you make of it will be your gift to God. Yes, it makes sense? You have it, so it's God's gift to you, whatever you have. But what you make of it will be your gift to God. So what type of gift you wish to give back to God for what He has given to you? And be happy that God found you worthy to give you that gift. Why only you and not somebody else? So you are worthy. So make the best of it, because when you go, you can give that back. You know, some people who really, when they die, there's such a big void when they leave the body, when they die, because it cannot be filled by somebody else. You say, when he's left, he's gone, but the gap is so much that nobody else can fill it. And there are some people, when they die, people are happy. Good riddance to bad rubbish. Good riddance to bad rubbish. It is good, it's gone. It was a headache for us. So some people, because of that good karma, they are remembered so much. And then some people, when they die, they cry when they are dying because they didn't do really good in this world. There's a very interesting saying. This Kabir was a very great poet. He said something beautifully. When a child is born, the baby cries. But the parents are so happy, so happy. But when a person dies, that same thing should not be repeated at the time, which was at the time of birth. He is crying and everyone is happy. Oh, gone, good, gone. And he is crying. But it should be the other way around. That he should be happy that I have done my best what I could do in life. And everyone else feels that this is a void is created, this vacuum is created as he's gone. That same birth situation should not be when he's dying. So this is what we say. So what exactly is good karma or bad karma, right or wrong? Some people are not able to understand. So just speaking lies is wrong, but here speaking the truth would be wrong. Somebody may say stealing is a sin. We say the biggest theft which we do is that whatever we are possessing, we have become attached to that. This is the biggest theft. Because we didn't bring it when we came in this world, and we will not take it when we go back. When we leave this world, then how is it ours? Isn't it stealing? Isn't the theft to think that this is mine? If something is yours, then you should be able, you should have brought it, or you should take it away. Now whatever belongings you have brought with you, you take the same. No, you don't take anything from here, from the from the showcase or anything. No, that would be stealing. You didn't bring it, and you're not going, and it doesn't belong to you. So anything of this world, nothing belongs to me. Even the body doesn't belong to me. When the soul came, it came alone. And go, even the body will perish, will die here, will be left behind. So any type of ego, arrogance or possessiveness, anything is a big lie, it is a big theft. So in that way, how many sins are we committing? So the more we say, I, in body consciousness and ego, the more we say my, with attachment, that is telling lies us or stealing. And how much we do that? We say, I never steal, I never touch anyone's things, I never do this, I. Again that ego is coming all the time. So we say there are two doors to hell. Hell. One is I and the other is my. I and my. And that is creating all the sinful actions in our life. So any action committed under the influence of body consciousness will result in a sinful action. So the ego which we have of possessions, of objects, of beauty, or whatever talents is a very big ignorance. And the other form of ignorance is the inferiority complex. Even that's an ignorance. Like to say, oh, I'm stupid, I'm foolish, I'm no good, I'm an idiot. You know, some people say all this for themselves. They say, but I'm not showing any pride that I'm this. I'm only saying I'm silly, I'm this. Even that is wrong. And we usually say this in front of God. Oh God, I am very meek, I'm very low, I'm very impure. You're so great, great, and I'm so bad. So I think that I'm being humble. Actually, this is not humility. If it would be humility, then if somebody else would tell me that, I would not mind it. But I mind it when somebody else tells me that. You know, I tell to God, God, I'm a sinner. But if somebody else tells me that you are a sinner, how dare you say that, I'm a sinner. What did I do? What sin did I commit? No, we don't like it. So if we don't like it, it means, what does it mean? I'm really not that, no. So why do I say that to myself, or why do I say that even to God? There's a saying, you know, Christ said in the Bible, it is, hate not the sinner, but hate his sins. Don't hate the sinner. The sinner, that person is a soul. He's a spiritual being. Don't hate that one. Hate the sin he has committed. Maybe under what emotions or what feelings or what must have been the situation, you never know. And therefore don't hate that person, but hate that action which was committed by him at that time. So that I am not influenced by that action. I am free from it. But don't hate that person, he's also God's child. See, what a beautiful feeling. And I'm also God's child. So if I'm God's child, then that inferiority complex is also ignorance, no? Because my father is so great and the child so bad. If somebody's father is an elevated person, a big man, then if his child is bad, it is not just an insult for the child, but also insult for the father. Whose child is he? Oh, is it not? Very often we see, oh, so-and-so, who is he? Who is his father? Oh, so-and-so is his father. So that person is such a big name, and look at the child. If somebody's father is a king, how must his son be? A prince, no? Not a pauper. So this is what is called spiritual understanding. So what is good karma? And what is bad karma? It's not just speaking lies or stealing. That is there. Of course it's there. But in a spiritual way, it is even much higher. And how many lies and thefts we are performing. And we are committing so many sinful actions. And therefore, the knowledge of the soul and the supreme soul is very important. Some people say, well, we have to do good actions, that's all. We must have values in life. Okay, fine, that's what I am. I don't give sorrow to anybody, I don't harm anybody, I never get angry with anybody. I'm very good. That's also fine, no doubt. But then, sometimes that ego can come. Sometimes that attachment can come. Sometimes the greed can come. Sometimes anger can come. Why? Because I'm not connected with the Supreme. Just like we carry cell phones. We are using them, but we also need a charger to keep charging them. If you don't have a charger, you have forgotten your charger, and you have been using and using, ultimately finished, the charge will go. You have to make sure that the charger is there so that you can connect with the powerhouse. So the soul is like a battery, a rechargeable battery. It needs to be recharged because we are using up our strength, our energy. And as we come more and more into action, the soul forgets itself and comes into body consciousness. And therefore the need to replenish here means to come back, to go back to the origin. And that is why the need to learn meditation. You know, all heart patients, they're advised by their doctor, along with diet control, the right diet, some light exercises, and as well as meditation. Why do they recommend meditation? Because through meditation you can calm your mind. And how do you calm your mind? By going inwards and making and becoming aware of your true nature. This is the awareness. And that's what meditation teaches us. So neither the superiority complex, that is ignorance, neither the inferiority complex, I'm bad, everyone bad. No, all are good. That is a fourth type of mentality. Each one is good. Even I'm good, you're good too. Everyone is good. And even if somebody is bad, and if we have that strength, we can create those good wishes and then make that one also be transformed, you know, and he can also become good. But if I don't have the strength, then of course, better be away. This is the thing. But we should know what to do when. We have to be humble, we have to be tolerant, we have to be patient. But how will we be? Some people in today's world, people think patience, tolerance is a cowardice. Why should I tolerate? Why should I be patient? I mean, I want something now. I can't tolerate. I don't care. Tolerance is a great virtue. It is not cowardice. Why? Because actually, if somebody is abusing me, okay. But then by using me, maybe my some past karma, it is settling. I have some physical problem. I'm able to tolerate. I'm not crying. I'm not shouting. I'm not abusing anybody. I tolerate. So I'm finishing. I'm settling my old karmic accounts. My past karmic accounts. I can still be light. I can still be happy. You know, you go to a hospital, you find some people, they may not have that much pain, but they are shouting and shouting. And there are some people have so much pain and yet they're not shouting. You know, you go and meet them, they're smiling. And if you ask them, how are you? I'm okay. In spite of all the pain they may have in the body. So what's the difference? What's the difference? Someone who has little pain but shouting all the while. And someone has so much pain and still not shouting. So it is a tolerance. But how does this tolerance come? It comes through a change in the thinking. That's all. It comes in the change in the thinking. And what should the thinking be? If somebody is abusing or whatever, okay, that person is very unhappy. That's why he's behaving like that. But who am I? Who am I? I am a peaceful soul. So as I am a peaceful soul, what do I have to do? Peace I have to give. Like you go near a tree which is filled with mangoes. And an urchin throws a stone at the tree. But that tree does not say, why is he throwing a stone at me? I will show him. But what does the tree do? Give a mango. That's what it has, no? So a stone but return is a mango. And what we do? Tit for tat. And sometimes we say it is in permutation combination, you know. You know what permutation combination? There's arithmetical progression and geometrical progression. That's what we learn in mathematics. Arithmetical progression is 2 into 2, then 4. 4 into 2, 8. 8 into 2, 16. This is arithmetical, into 2. The other is geometrical progression. 2 into 2, 4. 4 into 4, 16. 16 into 16. What will be the result? I give a very interesting example. I was in many years ago, I was studying in school, and I had a very good friend of mine, and she lived very close to the next building. And we were very good friends. So one fine morning, I read in the newspaper, and I knew her father. He had a big shop in the next building itself. And it so happened in India at that time, this was in the year 1956. So how many years ago? 50 years ago. Oh, 60 years ago. So I was, how old? Just 8 years old. So it so happened that in India at that time, there was a change happening in the currency. First it used to be annas and rupees in India. 4 annas, 8 annas, 12 annas, 16 annas in 1 rupee. So, and 2 annas, 4 annas like that. So, and became paisa in rupees, 100 paisa in 1 rupee. So, 100 paisa means 25 paisa in 4 annas, 50 paisa in 8 annas and like that. So, but 2 annas, it used to be 12 paisa, and again 1 paisa difference. So, 12 paisa and 13 paisa, you know. So somebody went to his shop, the father of that, my friend, and went to the shop and bought something for 2 annas, very cheap during those days, everything. So 2 annas, and that person gave him 12 paisa back. He said, no, give me 13 paisa back, because I have bought for 12 paisa and this is 25 paisa, I need 13 paisa back, 1 paisa difference. And he said, no, if I start giving 13 paisa to everybody, then I will go bankrupt. When 1 paisa had lot was quite a big amount at that time. Okay, and they started fighting. Said, no, you must give me. And they went on and on. That shopkeeper, what he did, he took a dagger, he had maybe a big knife, and he killed that customer. And next day it came in the newspaper, 1 paisa murder. 1 paisa murder. And I thought, what is 1 paisa murder? And I got the news, and that was the same place, my friend's father. And people read in the newspaper and forgot the next day because so much news coming. But I saw that friend of mine, how her father was taken into prison. He was imprisoned, and then all his shop gone, his house gone, everything gone. Ultimately he became a pauper, and then how he died in the prison because he got life imprisonment. He just killed him for 1 paisa he could have given. No, okay. What's the harm? But he didn't. The ego came. If I keep giving like that, and if I give to everybody like that, I'll become a pauper. He already became a pauper. So this is what we say, realize yourself, realize the consequences. We say, think, decide, and then do something. But what we do because of ego, we do extempo without thinking and realizing. And then we realize, oh, it was wrong. And then we think, now what to do? In Hindi, we have a beautiful saying, soch samajh kar karma karo. First think, then understand what the consequences could be. And then do. But because of the ego, the body consciousness, lust, anger, greed, attachment, jealousy, hatred, all these are vices which are the result of body consciousness. We do extempore, the senses become so strong in that time. The senses become the masters. The inner voice is suppressed. And at that time, the mind is not working. And then we do so many wrong things. But when we are practicing soul consciousness, that's what meditation helps us. We practice soul consciousness. I am a soul. I am a peaceful soul. I should not perform any actions which could cause peacelessness. This is my responsibility. I'm a peaceful soul. So when I'm thinking like this, automatically I will go inwards. And we give an example of a tortoise. What does a tortoise do? How it takes its limbs inside. And when it takes its limbs inside, it is protected. It has a shell to protect itself. So meditation acts like a shell for us to be protected. In the earlier days, people used to carry a sword, you know, when they used to go to war, a sword and a shield and an armor. So shield and armor was meant for defense and the sword was meant for attack. So this meditation acts like an armor for us to be protected from anything. Means I go inwards like a tortoise and be totally detached from the pull of this body and gain the inner strength and then come into action. So what is righteous action? When I'm doing every action in soul consciousness and God consciousness, this will be a righteous action. And when I'm performing my actions in a righteous way, then I get the true peace and happiness within. Because the soul is the master of the body. Body is not the master. It's like the driver controlling the car, not the car controlling the driver. So when the car is in full control of the driver, then driving is a game, it is a sport. So life is a sport, it's a game. It is not a struggle, it's not a battle. It is God's gift to us. So we don't run away from karma. We don't run away from anything. No, even if there is some sorrow somebody may give, I need not take. It's up to me. Okay, I may say somebody, why is somebody giving me sorrow? I'm not giving him sorrow. Why is he or she giving me sorrow? It's up to you to take or not take. No, why do you have to blame that person? Nobody can give anyone forcefully, no? You don't have to take the sorrow. It's a very good example of Mahatma Buddha. Very good, the best example you could think of. Mahatma Buddha was, he had to go to some village. And some people told him, don't go to that village. There is a man there who doesn't like you. And so if you go there, he'll abuse you. Please don't go there. He said, no, I will go. And I'll see what he does. So he went there. And as he reached there, that man started abusing him, like anything. But Buddha was unperturbed. He didn't say a word. And after half an hour of abuses, how much could he abuse? Maybe his dictionary, his word vocabulary was finished. But Mahatma Buddha was undisturbed, you know, unperturbed. So after all that, all the abuses, Mahatma Buddha asked him a very simple question. Tell me, if somebody tries to give something to someone and the other one doesn't take it, you know, it is very, very strong, it's there in Buddhist books. So if someone doesn't take it, then with whom will that thing remain? It will remain with that person. So with whom will it remain, he asked him. So that person got more wild. What a silly question. Of course it will remain with that one who's trying to give. He said, well, so whatever you tried to give me for half an hour, I'm sorry, I didn't take it. So can anybody forcibly give sorrow to anyone? I mean, if he's abusing me in that way. But if it's a physical abuse, well, we say if it's a physical abuse or any other type of sexual abuse, whatever, then you have the court in front of you. You have those who have the law in their hand. Don't take the law in your hand. That is important. You should not take the law in your hand. That is a very big lesson to learn. If somebody slaps you and you take a gun and shoot him, this is taking the law in your hand. So the one who slapped you is not, he didn't do a big action, but you did such a bad action. So you will be put into prison, not that one. And therefore, so that person, he felt so ashamed, he went and fell at his feet and said, "I didn't know that you were so great." There's also the story of Angulimal. This is again Buddhist story. Angulimal, he was a very big bandit, and anyone who came in his way, he would cut his finger, and he made a garland of fingers round his neck. That's how ferocious he was. So Mahatma Buddha was told, "Don't go there, he can cut your finger." He said, "Never mind, I will go." And he went, and then Angulimal said, "You know who I am?" "I know who you are." And maybe he told them some beautiful words about him. "You are a peaceful soul." I can think in that way. "You are a peaceful soul." And he started giving him maybe even drishti. And that person got a vision. "Oh, you're such a great person." So such a big bandit, such a big, whatever you could call him, how he fell at his feet. Because he had the good wishes for him, the good pure feelings for him. If there's fear, then that person will be doubly violent like that. This is how we understand. But there are some who can't accept that. Then the best thing is leave. Somebody is in a very angry state, but you should not get angry. Because if you get angry, you're creating your karma. And okay, he doesn't stop. Okay, just leave. That's all. That's the best thing to do. But don't add fuel to the fire by getting angry. You know, some people, when somebody gets angry with him, what he'll say, "Why are you getting angry with me? Can't you speak nicely? Why are you getting angry with me?" But when he's saying why, or she's saying, "Why are you getting angry with me?" in an angry state. "Why are you getting angry with me?" The other one's already angry. If I want his anger to go, how should I speak? How should I speak? With anger. You know, once I went to a school and I had to give a talk on values. So when I went, the children were making noise, lots of noise, lots of noise. So now how to silence the children? So what the teacher did, she took a big stick. "Silence, silence, silence, silence." The children were not silent at all. They were very noisy. And then, so I only smiled and I just stood there. I just stood there in meditation and started looking at everybody. And each one started looking at me and everyone became silent. So which is the easiest way to make everyone silent? By shouting, "Silence, silence, silence, silence." Just be silent and give the vibrations of silence to everyone and they'll all become silent. So what is good actions, what is bad actions? So any action done under the influence of these vices is all sinful actions. And any action done in a state of soul consciousness and God consciousness, whose child am I and who am I? All that will be righteous actions. And the result also will be different. I'll experience true peace, tranquility, calmness, coolness within it, that happiness will be felt. So this is the law of karma. Okay? 12:30, you have to go. Om Shanti. Any other, any questions? Any one question? So actually at that time the best thing is say in your mind, oh dear soul, you're such a good soul, don't throw a stone at this dog. And it will give him a touching. Instead of you saying and coming in words, do it through your mind. Yeah. Yeah, that will be, have a stronger impact than words. That's how we do, because it's, you know, some people don't understand at that time. Your words, they will not be understood. So you just connect to the mind. And it really works. I've seen how it works. Okay? Om Shanti. That's 1 minute silence and then we get up. You have a question? Yes? As my? To lessen my karma, do more meditation. Meditation will act like that fire which burns away all the vices, all the impurity. So meditation, we say the fire of yoga, how it will finish my karmic accounts. And also we say, let go, be free yourself. Don't hold it. Forgive and forget. Even that will help you to lessen your karma. Seva, yes. Help somebody, take blessings from that, from people. Then that will help you to ease in your, to finish your karma. There are so many different methods. Yeah. But meditation will help you to do all that also. Okay. 1 minute, again, contemplation.